with the heading. So good morning, and I want to thank all of you for coming. We're here to discuss today the halachos of Parashas Zachar, and we all know that this coming Shabbos, God willing, we're going to read Parashas Zachar, and it's one of the occasions in Judaism where people get really excited, even if you're not a brisker, you tend to get very nervous. Maybe I missed a word, maybe I didn't miss a word. Is the Baal Kori leaning properly? I remember the old brisker jokes about that the Baal Kori is wearing glasses, so maybe you're not Yotze because you actually have to see the Ksav, and if the Baal Kori is wearing glasses, maybe you're not Yotze. And of course the response was, well, what about if the Baal Kori has false teeth and you're not hearing it from his own mouth? There is lots to discuss about Parashas Zachar, and we're going to try to focus on some of the serious elements of the parasha. One of the reasons why people are nervous, concerned, to make sure that they're Yotzei Parashas Zachar properly, is because unlike the Kriyas HaTorah that we have throughout the year, which is Midrabanan, which is only rabbinic, the Kriyas HaTorah for Parashas Zachar is assumed to be a Deoraisa. It's assumed to be a Torah command that we have to read Parashas Zachar. And the reason why it's a Torah command, basically, the first source that we have on the sheet is the Gemara Maseches Megillah, and there's a Sifrei to this effect as well, where the Gemara says, Kira'a al peh lo yotza, if you read it bal peh, you're not yotze, minolon, how do you know that? So zok the Gemara, marava, asya zechira zechira, we derive a gezeira shava. Ksiv hacha v'yamim ha'elah nizkarim, in the Megillah it says these days should be remembered. Uksiv hasam ksov zos zikaron basefer. So we are comparing the reading of the Megillah, and that reading has to be from a text, it can't be ba'al peh. We are comparing the reading of the Megillah to the reading of Parashas Zachar, ksov zos zikaron basefer, malahalon basefer, avkan basefer. Just like Parashas Zachar has to be from a text, also, the Megillah should be read from a text. Then the Gemara asks, "Memai da haizachira kriyahi?" How do you know that refers to reading? Dilma iyun da alma. So the Gemara says, "No, it can't be because it says zachar. That might be belave. The word zachar might imply just thinking about it. Kishu omer lo tishkach, when it says, do not forget. Hare shichachas halev amur hamani mekayim zachar bapeh. In other words, the Gemara is saying that to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar, it has to be bepeh. It has to be that we articulate it, that we say it. It's not enough to just think about Amalek. Rather, we have to say something, and we have to say something from a text. That's what emerges from the Gemara here in Megillah. And most assume the fact that we are learning Mikra Megillah from Parsha Zachar, that implies that the reading of Parsha Zachar is a din d'oraisa. This is the standard approach that's found in Rishonim. However, it's just worth noting that it might be the standard approach, but it is certainly not universal. There are many Rishonim who assume that the reading of Parashas Zachar is not a Deoraisa, it's not a Torah obligation. If you'll turn in your sources to Numbers 8 and 9, so the Rambam tells us that there is a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. V'chei mitzvah saseh la'abed zecher Amalek. We're not going to get involved in the philosophical problems with this mitzvah, but there's a mitzvah in the Torah that we're supposed to destroy Amalek. Shenemar timche zecher Amalek. U'mitzvah saseh, then the Rambam says, lizkar tamid ma'asav ha'ra'im v'arev aso. There is a mitzvah saseh, to always remember Amalek's bad actions, va'arev aso, the fact that they ambushed us, the fact that they surrounded us. Why? Why should we always remember Amalek? Kedei la'orer evaso, in order to arouse our enmity, our anger. Right? That's why we have to remember Amalek. Shenemar zachor es asher aso l'cha Amalek, mipi ha'shmu alamdu, zachor bepeh, lo tishkach belev, which is the Gemara that we saw in Megillah. So what's interesting about the Rambam? The Rambam mentions that we have the mitzvah to remember Amalek, But the Rambam does not say that we have to remember Amalek based on reading a text. No? The Rambam just says that we have to remember Amalek verbally, but he doesn't say, I need a sefer, I don't need a text. The Rambam does not say, I need a minyan. The Rambam does not say that we're supposed to do it before Purim. The way the Rambam phrases it is, mitzvah saseh lizkor tamid. It sounds like this is one of the ongoing permanent mitzvahs. You always have to remember Amalek. Always. All the time. That's the way the Rambam phrases it. So for the Rambam, there is a mitzvah to remember Amalek. It is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But that mitzvah d'oraisa does not involve the Kriyas HaTorah. Where the Rambam mentions Kriyas HaTorah of Parashas Zohar is in Source 9, which is not in Hilchos Malachim, rather it's in Hilchos Tefillah. And the Rambam mentions Parashas Zohar just as one of the readings that we have throughout the year. He tells us this is the Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year, and one of those readings is Parashas Zohar. So Reb Aryeh Primarchik, he was a fascinating character. He's Nifter very young. He was 38 when he was Nifter. He was a student both of the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, and he wrote three incredible Sfarim. One sefer is called the Toras Zra'im, which you use when you learn Mishnah Yisei Zra'im. The other sefer is called the Yehegeh Ka'ari, which is a sefer on Sugyas and Shas. And then his third sefer, which is most popular, is the Emek Bracha. And the Emek Bracha is a sefer that goes through topics about brachos, about Kriyas HaTorah, etc. And in the Emek Bracha, Rabbi Aryeh Primarchik points out, he says, you know what, everyone says that reading Parsha Zohar is the Oraisa, and this is kind of what we were educated in grade school, but he says, but you read the Rambam, and you don't see that reading Parsha Zohar is the Oraisa at all. For the Rambam, reading Parsha Zohar, the Kriyas HaTorah this coming Shabbos, is just another Kriyas HaTorah that we read in honor of a great event. So before Purim, we read Parsha Zohar. But the Rambam does not mention in the context of Zohar the fact that there's a mitzvah saseh min HaTorah to remember Amalek. The Rambam only mentions that mitzvah to remember Amalek in Hilchos Malachim later on. The Rambam says that that's a permanent mitzvah. That mitzvah happens tamid, all the time. That doesn't involve a text. So we see that for the Rambam, the reading of Parsha Zohar is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. It's not a mitzvah d'Oraisa. This is what Rabbi Aryeh Primarchik points out. Okay, very nice. However, we assume that the reading of Parsha Zohar is in fact a d'Oraisa. It's in fact a Torah command. So much so, if you look in Source 3, the Mechaber quotes from a Trumas Hadeshen. See, we're fortunate, at least I'm very fortunate, I live in New York City. Within two blocks of where I live, there's probably 20 minyanim on a daily basis. I happen to live on the YU campus, it makes it a little bit easier. I could walk a few blocks over to my shul. Right, there are minyanim all over the place. But there were people who used to live in outlying communities and did not have a minyan regularly. And the question that the Trumas Hadeshen is asked is, if you don't have a minyan on a daily basis, so you're going to have to travel from your shtetl to the main town, when should you go to the main town? Should you go to the main town to hear Parsha Zohar? Or should you go to the main town on Purim to hear the Megillah? Which one is better? Which one takes precedence? Hearing Parsha Zohar with a minyan or hearing the Megillah? So the Trumas Hadeshen paskins that since Parsha Zohar is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that's Source 3, Yesh Omim, that Parsha Zohar and Parsha's Parah is a chi of d'oraisa. There's a whole literature about the Mechaber, and here the Mechaber quotes this as a Yesh Omrim, and earlier in Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Mem Vav, the Mechaber quoted this as the accepted opinion that Zohar is d'oraisa. Here he mentions Parah also, there he doesn't mention Parah. That's, well, I tell the guys in my share, that's like for advanced Talmud. That's the next class that we'll give. But we see that Parsha Zohar is a din d'oraisa. Lefikach, the Mechaber says, b'nei ha'yishuvim she'ein lahem minyan tzrichim lavo l'makom she'yesh minyan b'shabasos halalu kidei l'shmo ha'parashiyos elu she'ein d'oraisa. Therefore, the Mechaber says, you have to go to the main town to have a minyan for when? For Parshas Zachar. For Parshas Zachar, you go to the minyan. In other words, if I have a choice between hearing Zachar with the minyan or hearing the Megillah with the minyan, Zachar takes precedence. That's the shita of the Mechaber. And this was pretty much accepted. We're assuming that Zachar's Doraisa trumps Mikra Megillah. Obviously, according to the Rambam, this isn't true. But then comes only the Magen Avram. And this is quoted by the Mishnah Brura in Source 7. What happens is when I prepare the Shi'urim, I have one sequence of events, and then last night when I decided to re-prepare the Shi'ar, I sort of changed my order. So I hope you could bear with me and just like, I'm quoting the same sources, it's just a different sequence. So, in Source 7, it's actually in the fourth line. The Mishnah Brura quotes, Aval HaMagen Avram Mitzadeid, the Magen Avram, right, Rabbi Abraham Gumbiner, Rabbi Avram Gumbiner is actually the last of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, on the side of the page. He was the only Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch who was really German. The other commentators on the side of the Shulchan Aruch were from Lita. He was German, and he's also the only one who uses Kabbalah Svarim on a regular basis. If you'll read through the Shach, to the best of my knowledge, there's only two places where the Shach in Yerideya quotes the Zohar. The Magen Avram not only is quoting the Zohar, he quotes the Kisvei Ari, he quotes Kabbalah Svarim all the time. This is who the Magen Avram was. So the Magen Avram says that he's going to argue in Shulchan Aruch. Aval Magen Avram betzadei detov yoser sheyavo lemakom shekorin hamegillah betzibor uparashas zachar yotzei alpi hadachak b'mesh yishma hakriya bepurim parashas vayavo amalek. Zok the Magen Avram, if I have a choice between going to a town, leaving the shtetl and going to the main city on Purim or on Parshas Zachar, Zok the Magen Avram, I'm supposed to go on Purim. You know why? Because if I go on Purim, I'm killing two birds with a single stone. Because on Purim, I go to the town, I'll hear the Megillah, and I'm also going to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. And what's the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim? The Kriyas HaTorah on Purim is the parasha of Vayavo Amalek in Parashas Vishalach, which is also a reading about Amalek. And says the Magen Avram, when I hear the parasha of Vayavo Amalek, I fulfill the mitzvah of Parashas Zachar. Or not Zachar, because Zachar is in Kisetze that we read the past Shabbos, but I fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek by hearing the parasha of Vayavo Amalek. Therefore, I'm supposed to go to the town for a minyan for Purim, not for Parshas Zachar, because on Purim I get both Megillah and I get the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. This is the psak of the Magen Avram. However, the Mishnah Brura disagrees with the Magen Avram. Okay, so again, Trumas Hadeshen, Shulchan Aruch say that it's better to hear Parshas Zachar with a minyan, because that's Doraisa. They're assuming that not only do you have to hear it from a text, but you have to hear it with a minyan, which we have not seen the source for, by the way. Right? How do you know you have to read it with a minyan? We don't know. But okay, that's what they're assuming. Magen Avram agrees that you need a minyan for the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. But the Magen Avram says that you don't have to read the parasha of Kisetze, Vayobal, the parasha of Zachar Eis Asher Asol Lecha Amalek. You don't have to read that parasha. You can read the parasha of Vayobal Amalek in Parshas Bishalach and get the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. That's what the Magen Avram says. But the Mishnah Brura, right, and this is the part that's underlined in Source 7, about Lofi and the Estaitis of the Mishnah Brura, Iker Dino Shal HaMagen Avram Sarech Iyun. The Magen Avram's psak is questionable. Daksiv Batorah Zachar Yis Asher Asol Lecha Amalek Asher Kocha Baderech Bayizaneh Becha. It says, there's psukim in the Torah, Timcha means Vahakavana Shelo Lishkoach Masha Asolonu Amalek. We should not forget what Amalek did. Unisaper Zelevaninu Ludoroseinu Lomar Lahem Kach Asolonu Harasha. This is what the evil Amalek did to us. Ulekach Netztavinu Limchos Eshemo. And therefore we are commanded to obliterate Amalek. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, hold it, Magen Avraham, hold it. You think you're Yotzei Parshas, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, by hearing Parshas Mishpatim? Parshas Mishpatim says, Ksov zos zikaron ba-sefer, write this down, ki macho emche es zecher Amalek, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am going to obliterate Amalek. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. The mitzvah to remember Amalek is, like we saw, to arouse our hatred and our anger at them. Why? So that we should destroy them. And that we should destroy them is only written in Parashas Kisetze. That's the idea of Timche es Zecha Amalek. You should do it, not that I should do it. So the Mishnah Berurah is assuming, and this is a tremendous idea, that you only fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek if you read Parashas Kisetze. No other element of remembering Amalek would suffice. It has to be Parshas Kisetze, because it has to be to remember Amalek so that you should go and destroy them. That is what the Mishnah Berurah assumes. It happens that there is a whole literature in Rishonim, Achronim. I have some of the sources for you. There's a line in the Ramban of HaTorah in source number 2, where the Ramban sounds like, when I read the Megillah on Purim, I get the mitzvah of Zechiras Masa Amalek. Right? Because we read the Megillah on Purim, we remember Haman. Haman is Agogi. Agogi means he comes from Amalek. We read the Megillah on Purim, we remember Amalek. And the Avni Nezer, in the famous Tshuva, says this can explain the famous Deya of the Bahag. The Bahag famously comments that women are only obligated, that women, even though they're obligated in the Megillah, they cannot be motzi men with the Megillah. Famous comment of the Bahag. It's taken on a lot of contemporary significance in recent years. That women cannot be motzi men in the Megillah. Okay. Either obligated, what's the pshat? So the Avni Nezer says, he says, no, I'll tell you the pshat. The pshat is when we read the Megillah, we have two different elements that come into play. One is that we read the Megillah, and reading the Megillah itself, the story of Purim, so of course women are obligated in that. But the second element that comes into play is the fact that we are remembering Amalek, and remembering Amalek is so that we do war against them. But women, we know, are not obligated in the war. That's something that we'll touch on a little bit later. So therefore, says the Avni Nezer, the reason why a woman can't be motzi a man with a Megillah is because when a woman reads the Megillah, she's only retelling the story of the Megillah. But she is not going to be involved in the battle element of the Megillah, because women are exempt from that. Therefore, a woman can't be motzi a man. That's the comment of the Avni Nezer. Now, all of these Mefarshim who say, the Ramban who says that through the Megillah, I'm yotzei the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, and the Magen Avraham who says, I'm yotzei the mitzvah when I read the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Bishalach, thank you, right? All of these mefarshim are obviously against the Mishnah Berurah, who says that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, it has to only be those psukim in Parashas Kisetze. Now, this question is really a question that the Monei HaMitzvos address. What we're really talking about is, can I fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek if it's remembrance of what Amalek did, but it's not the type of remembrance that leads us to do battle? That seems to be the dispute between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. If you look in the Monei HaMitzvos, there are two reasons given for why we should remember Amalek. We have the famous reason that we read earlier, for the reason that the Rambam quoted in Source 8, that we remember Amalek in order to arouse our hatred so that we'll go and fight them. And that's a reason that the Sefer HaChinuch gives. That's a common reason. But the Smak gives a different reason. The Smak, by the way, was like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of the medieval Jew. That's what Professor Chaim Soloveitchik says. The smack was broken down by the days of the week. He wanted everyone to learn his sefer every week. And each day he has different halachos for that day. And actually, it's relevant. It's a Sunday halacha. It's mitzvah chav zayin in the smack, which is one of those mitzvahs you're supposed to do on a Sunday. And the smack says that the reason why we remember Amalek is because we are supposed to remember why it is that Amalek came. Why is it that Amalek started up with us? And what's the answer? Refidim, mipnei rafu yideihem min haTorah. We didn't. This is everyone's Musar Shmuz. Now, we didn't learn Bahasmada, and that's why Amalek came. In other words, we did not do mitzvahs properly, and that's why we were attacked. What we remember, says the smack, has nothing to do with giving us the, you know, the coaches before the game, the Musar Shmuz that gives the football players before the game. Right? It's not about the battle. It's about, remember that you did Averis, and because of our Averis, that's why Amalek came. That's what the smack says. The Sefer Charedim takes a step a bit further. The Sefer Charedim writes that the mitzvah to remember Amalek is involved in every single mitzvah that we do. That's what the Sefer Charedim says. He writes, whenever I do a mitzvah, when I daven, when I wear tefillin, when I light Chanukah candles, every mitzvah that I do, I should have in mind that I better be careful about doing this mitzvah properly, because if I'm not careful, Amalek might come. In other words, for the Sefer Charedim and for the smack, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek is unconnected with the idea that we're supposed to do battle with Amalek. It's completely unconnected. No connection whatsoever. Fine. However, there are Rishonim, obviously, who assume that it's completely connected. Besides the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch that we mentioned, Rabbi Yeruchim Perlau points out in his Sefer HaMitzvos of Reb Sadigon that the Bahag is fascinating. The Bahag does not have a mitzvah to remember Amalek at all. The Bahag doesn't quote it as a mitzvah. How can that be a mitzvah? The Torah says, remember Amalek, that's going on. So the Bahag understands that the only reason we're supposed to remember Amalek is in order to do battle with them, to destroy them. And Zuck the Bahag, the way Rabbi Yeruchim Perlau understands, you don't have to count a mitzvah to remember Amalek, because it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. And once I have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, that's the mitzvah to remember Amalek. That's the shita of the Bahag. That is the most extreme position. Now, if we assume that the mitzvah to remember Amalek is connected with the mitzvah of doing battle against Amalek, so we can possibly understand why it is that that Shulchan Aruch says you need a minyan. No? We asked, where on earth do you get this idea that Parsha Zachar is supposed to be done with a minyan? Where does it come from? So the Keren Ora, yeah, I give you the source over here. The Keren Ora in Maseches Brachos. The Keren Ora was the brother of the Mishkanes Yaakov. He was in Karlin also. He was in Karlin. He had the unfortunate job of being a Litvisher Rav in the town of Karlin. Probably wasn't so much fun. So the Keren Ora in Maseches Brachos, he comments that the reason why you need a minyan for Parsha Zachar is because if the reason to remember is to do battle, doing battle, says the Keren Ora, is a chiyuv on the tzibur. It's a communal obligation. An individual does not have a mitzvah to battle against Amalek. The mitzvah to battle against Amalek, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Shalosh mitzvos nitzdavu yisrael b'chnisos on la'aretz. There are three mitzvos, limnos lehem melach, lahachar zaro shel Amalek, v'livnos beis habechira. Three mitzvos were commanded when we enter Eretz Yisrael to appoint a king, to destroy Amalek, and to build the beis hamikdash. These are all communal mitzvos. If it's a communal mitzvah, in order to represent the community, that is why we need a minyan. So it makes sense, the idea of having a minyan only make sense if it's a communal obligation. Of course, it's a little bit hard to understand, though, when the Gemara has a hava amina, that you could fulfill the mitzvah just by thinking, the lave, that's a little bit hard to understand what type of communal obligation you could have to all think together. That's a strange type of thing. The Keren Ora tries to work on this problem in that piece. Now, so where are we up to? Let's take inventory. Magen Avraham says the mitzvah to remember Amalek is unconnected to the mitzvah to do battle against Amalek. And we remember Amalek just what they did. Right? Therefore, I'm Yotze with Parshas Beshalach. The Mishnah Berurah says, I need Kiseitze because it has to be to remember Amalek to inspire us to battle against Amalek. And this probably relates to the discussion in Rishonim about the reason for the mitzvah. And this probably relates to whether or not there's an obligation for a minyan. If you assume it's a communal obligation, you need a minyan, it's more likely to assume that the reason to remember Amalek is in order to do battle with them, which is a communal obligation. Once we've gotten to this point, so we can now analyze the famous position of the Sefer HaChinuch, which I did not put on my sheets, I apologize. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Tafrei Shgimel, famously, that women are exempt from the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. Women don't have the mitzvah. And the Minchas Chinuch begins to jump up and down and spit wood and nickels. He says, I don't understand. How are women exempt from the mitzvah to remember Amalek? Remembering Amalek is not a time-bound mitzvah. It's not mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Only time-bound mitzvahs are, right? Women are only exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. You can remember Amalek at any time. It happens that we decide to remember Amalek right before Purim. But you could remember them at any time. Problem one. Moreover, zakt the Minchas Chinuch. Let's read the Sefer HaChinuch. Why is it that women are exempt from the mitzvah to remember Amalek? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, because women don't do battle. Women don't go to war. They don't go to war. And therefore, since the mitzvah to remember Amalek, apparently, it's like the Mishnah Berurah says, right? Sefer HaChinuch is like the Mishnah Berurah, a little bit backwards. But the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, since the reason to remember Amalek is in order to do battle, so therefore women who don't go to battle, so they don't have to remember Amalek. Says the Minchas Chinuch, one second, women don't go to battle? The Gemara in Sota, on Daf Mem Dalet, says that that's only true by Melchemes Rishus. But by Mochemes Mitzvah. Right? And the war against Amalek is a Mochemes Mitzvah. By Mochemes Mitzvah, Afilu Kala Mechupasa. Right? Chasan Mechupasa, Kala Mechupasa. They go out and they fight a Mochemes Mitzvah. So how can you tell me, the Minchas Chinuch asks, that women are exempt? Strong question. Very strong question. Of course, the question about Mochemes Mitzvah versus Mochemes Rishus isn't necessarily compelling. If you look in the Tshuvas HaRadvaz and you look in the Rashash over there in Maseches Sota, when we say that a woman leaves her chuppah to go and do battle by Mochemes Mitzvah, it does not mean that women actually fight. Women were not on the front lines. Rather, the women stayed on the home front to cook and to bake and to sew clothing for the soldiers, and that's what it means. That's what the Radvaz and the Rashash both say. In a few minutes, we'll try to approach this from a different angle, but for now, that's what we'll say. Rebbe Yoshev is quoted as giving a different answer to the Minchas Chinuch's question. Rebbe Yoshev says that when we say that for Mochemes Mitzvah, women go out to fight, that doesn't mean that there's an obligation on women to go and fight. It means that if they want to, they can. And therefore, women are exempt from Parshas Zachar, because Parshas Zachar, we read it in order to remember what Amalek did, so that we will know that we have to go and fight. But if you don't have to fight, so then you're exempt. But this question about whether women are obligated or exempt from Parshas Zohar is really the second big question that the Rishonim dealt with. Right, the first question is it Dereisa Derabbanan? What's the reason for the mitzvah that we focused on at the beginning? But the second issue, whether women are obligated or exempt, the Sefer HaChinuch clearly says women are exempt from remembering Amalek. The Minchas Chinuch takes issue. And there's a whole literature in the Achronim about who's right. Who's right. It happens that the practice generally was, I think today, we are much more religious than people were 50 years ago. 50 years ago or 75 years ago, women did not go to shul for Parshas Zohar. Is that correct? I don't think it was done. It's not just me that I think it wasn't done. The Tshuvah Svarim, the Toras Chesed, who wrote Tshuvahs in Lublin before the war, and the Binyan Siyun, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, and everyone who really discusses whether women are obligated in Parshas Zohar or not, they say, well, you know, there was some Ga'ini Oilam, Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler. He was an interesting character, a real character. He was a Rebbe Lechsam Sefer. He was also a Rebbe of this Reb Avram Bing, who was the Rebbe of the Binyan Sion of Reb Yaakov Ettlinger. And Reb Nosson Adler used to tell his wife to go and hear Parshas Zohar. But this was not standard practice. So much so it was not standard practice that in recent times, the Chazon Ish told his wife, who, right, the Chazon Ish told his wife and his sister, both. His sister, I think, was the Stapler's wife. And the Chazon Ish told them, you don't have to go to shul here, Parshas Zohar. It was not done. It just was not done. Purim, yes, you have to hear Parshas Zohar. And it could be, right? Purim, the women would go to shul to hear the Megillah, excuse me. And it could be when they went to shul, they'd hear Vayavo Amalek, which according to the Magen Avraham is Parshas Zohar. But to go to hear Kiseitse, the Shabbos before Purim, this was not done by women. The Toras Chesed has a discussion about why this is true. Is the reading of Parshas Zohar really a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama or not? That's the way he approaches it. He approaches it from the following angle. We know that there are certain mitzvahs. The Rambam tells us that the mitzvah of tefillah, davening, you're supposed to daven min ha-Torah, right? The Rambam is the shita that says that davening is din d'oraisa. So how often am I supposed to daven? Once a day I'm supposed to daven, anytime I want. Midrabanan, the Chachamim come and they say, well, you're supposed to daven three times a day. And not only three times a day, but at three set times during the day. Shacharis and Mincha and Ma'ariv. So the Magen Avraham has a famous comment where he says, well, even though according to the Rambam, women are clearly obligated to daven, because if it's a mitzvah that you can do at any time during the day, so that's not mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. Because the whole rationale for mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, that Abu Draham says, is because women don't control their own time. Women are meshubados lebaleihen. That's the expression that Abu Draham uses. Right? They have to take care of the house, and they don't have the time to. They don't have the time. They're not free to do time-bound mitzvahs because maybe they're busy at that time. But if you have a mitzvah, you can do it any time during the day. So women are obligated. So according to the Rambam, fundamentally, Noshim should be obligated to daven because it's not mitzvah seh shehazman grama. You could daven any time during the day. Once Chazal said, though, that davening should be done at three specific times during the day, so that women are pater from, that became mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. So even though the fundamental chiyuv is a d'oraisa chiyuv that women should be obligated in, and the Rabbanon are kind of defining it, but the Rabbanon are not, right? The Rabbanon are also adding a chiyuv that transforms the nature. In other words, we would have thought that women are obligated to daven on the d'oraisa level, so when the Chachamim institute davening midrabbanan, women should also be obligated. Says the Magen Avraham, that's not true. Women are obligated to daven on the d'oraisa level. True, it's not mitzvah shehazman grama on the d'oraisa level. When the Chachamim institute, they should daven three times a day. So then what emerged is that now women are going to be potter from davening, because now it becomes mitzvah shehazman grama. Says the Toras Chesed, that's exactly the same thing that goes on by Parshas Zohar, no? Fundamentally, it's not Zman Grama. Fundamentally, you could remember Amalek any time during the year. That's what you could do. However, the Chachamim instituted a specific time to do it, before Purim. That transformed it to Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. Chachamim instituted a specific way to do it, with the Sefer Torah, with a minyan. So the women are going to be potter from the new institution the Chazal had, even though what Chazal are doing is really developing a din d'oraisa that women were obligated in. That's what the Torah Chesed argues. It's an interesting argument. But I want to kind of take a step back and look at probably the most famous source about reading of Parsha Zohar, which we haven't covered yet. It's source number 4. Source number 4 in the sheets. Until now we've had two conversations. Is it Doraisa or Drabanan? Machlokes, Chinuch, and Rambam? Right? Is it, are women obligated or women exempt? Different conversation. When we read the Rush, we'll see that there's a certain connection between these two conversations. Famous Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. Mas of Rabbi Eliezer, Shinichlas of Beisak Nesses, Ramosa Shamasara. Right? The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Eliezer went into Shul and doesn't find a minion, and he frees his Eved to have a minion. He frees his Eved to Shlimo La'asara. So the Gemara asks, Heichi Ovid Hachi? Right? How did you do that? We know of Amar Rav Yehuda, Kamashachar Avdo over Be'asei. You're not allowed to free your Eved. So how did he do this? Shenemar la'olam bahem ta'avodu. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah derabim shani. Right? That he basically, he's allowed to free his Eved and violate this din of that an Eved should be la'olam bahem ta'avodu, should always work for you, because it's Mitzvah derabim. There's some public mitzvah. Question. And the Rishonim all grapple with this. Mitzvah derabim. What's the mitzvah that he's trying to do? Davening, probably, right? Right? He needs a minion to daven. Davening, is it derais or drabonon? Well, to daven with a minion, for sure is drabonon, no? For sure it's drabonon. Even according to the Ramban, the davening is derais, so I say a tchina in the morning. Right? That was the minion. My grandmother used to do this. You say, oh, tchina, that's it. That's enough. Now, you don't need a minion for sure, min ha-Torah. So one second. And the iser to free your Eved, is that Doraisa Drabanan? That's Doraisa. So how could I free my Eved and violate a Doraisa in order to get a mitzvah that's only Drabanan? So he says, Va'afilu hevi milsa Drabanan kidom nishmoa kedusha baruchu shelo matzinu lo ikar min ha-Torah. Afilo hachi dachi asei de yachid. Zuck the Rush that we see from here, that even for mitzvah derabanan, because it's a public mitzvah derabanan, we knock off a iser d'oraisa. Right? We knock off the iser d'oraisa of freeing an eved to do a public mitzvah derabanan. And then he writes the kicker. Delo mistaber li lameimar, delo mistaber li demairi ba'asara d'oraisa, Kigon likros parsha zacha shehu min haTorah, the mashma de bechol inyan airi. Whoa! This is the famous line in the Rush. The Rush says it's not mistaber, it's not logical that when Rabbi Eliezer freed his eved, it was parsha zacha, and he's freeing the eved in order to have a mitzvah de oraisa of reading parsha zacha. Why? Because the Gemara just says he freed his Eved. We don't know what it's talking about. He's probably talking about any other day. It's not so likely. He's talking about that one day a year, and the case is Parsha Zohar. This is the famous Rush. So the Rush concludes that for a mitzvah derabbanan, a public mitzvah derabbanan v'rabin, you're allowed to violate the d'oraisa of freeing an Eved. Don't tell me, says the Rush, we're talking about freeing an Eved in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zohar, because we're probably not talking about that. Probably talking about 364 other days during the year. Or however number there are, 353. Now, the Acharonim all point out from the Rush, one second. What's going on here? You see from the Rush a few things. You see that he holds that reading Zohar is d'oraisa. You see from the Rush that reading Zohar is d'oraisa only with a minyan. The idea is that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read it with a minyan. I'll free my eved to fulfill that mitzvah d'oraisa. Reading zachos only d'oraisa with a minyan. That's what I see from the Rush. And I see from the Rush, the tshuvos of the Torah's chesed, again points out, I see from the Rush that it's d'oraisa only at this point during the year. Think about it. What's the Rush saying? Well, maybe he's freeing the eved in order to have a minyan for reading Zohar. Right? And that's d'oraisa. Well, hold it. 1 second. If you could fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek any time during the year, and we just have a nice minhag, a practice, to fulfill it now, before Purim, so then, let the Rush say, you know what, you can't free your Eved to read Zohar now. Wait a week when you'll have 10 regular people and don't free the Eved. You'll get the same mitzvah next week. Why is the Rush saying that you can free the Eved? Why is the Rush entertaining this idea that you're freeing the Eved in order to fulfill the d'orais of Zohar? It's not true. Right? Wait a week. Elamai, says the Torah's Chesed. An amazing thing, you see from the Rush, that the mitzvah d'oraisa has to be this exact week. No other time. Okay, so that was a big enough kiddush for me. But then I found something even bigger. Tremendous. Tremendous. Let's take a step back. Right, we have an Eved and 9 people in Shul. What's the status of an Eved in mitzvos? Right? An Eved is chayiv in mitzvos like an Isha, like a woman. Right? Now, let's go slowly. 1 second. If women are obligated in Parshas Zohar, so then this Eved is obligated in Parshas Zohar also, because he's like an Isha, no? So then you don't have to free the Eved in order to have a minyan for Zohar. You could just allow the Eved to combine with them, and now you have your minyan for Zohar. So the tshuvos of the Tzitz HaKodesh has this. The Tzitz HaKodesh was amazing. Rabbi Charlap, his grandfather was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap, who was the Talmud Mufak of Rav Kook. Before Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap learned by Rav Kook, though, he had another Rebbe who was known as Rabbi Yehoshua Tzvi Hersh Mechel Shapiro, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim, part of that old Yish of Gaonei Olam. He was a chavrusa of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, and he was nifter, and he was nifter young, and no one had any Torah from him. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap wrote 2 volumes called the Tzitz HaKodesh, which is the Torah of Rabbi Yeshua Hersh Leib Michal Shapiro. So in the Tzitz HaKodesh, he has a tshuva about this raya that l'chora you see from the Rush. Like what we said from the Sefer HaChinuch, that women are not obligated in Parshas Zohar. Because if women would be obligated, an Eved would also be obligated. And therefore, you wouldn't have to free the Eved in order to have a minyan for Parshas Zohar. This is what the Tzitz HaKodesh wants to say. So, it's a very strong raya. It's really a very strong raya that you see that the Rush also holds that women are putter from Parshas Zohar. The Tzitz HaKodesh wanted to get out of the Raya. He wanted to say, let's go slowly. Why would women be obligated in Zohar? Women are obligated in Zohar. He's assuming like the Mishnah Berura, because you're remembering in order to go to war. But he assumes like the Minchas Chinuch, that women also have to go to this war, because it's Mochemes Mitzvah. However, he argues, brilliant, that the halacha that a woman goes to war by Mochemes Mitzvah is only if you have a tzibur of men fighting, then the woman combines with that tzibur. But if you don't have a tzibur of men present, you don't have, and that, by the way, the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer on Erevin, in Simun Kuf Yudala, that's the din of minyan midoraisa. The one din doraisa of a minyan is going to war. So the Chazon Ish says, so if I don't have a minyan of men, so then an isha, then a woman, is not obligated to fight. So maybe that's what's going on over here. They had to free the Eved in order, even though an Eved is obligated like an isha, but if you don't have 10 men, so then an isha herself, a woman herself, is not obligated in going to war. So this is I never knew this until this week. Like, usually I always thought that there are two totally different conversations. Is Zohar Doraisa or not Doraisa? The conversation whether women are obligated or not. I never realized that the main source, or one of the major sources, this rush that everyone takes to be the extreme shita, that Zohar is the Oraisa, not only Zohar, but Zohar from a Sefer Torah, and Zohar even on this week. But the rush himself seems to be assuming that women are not obligated. That was the Sitz HaKodesh's original thought. Then at the end he tries to move out. He says, no, maybe women are obligated, but they're only obligated as part of the chiyuv that men have. Only if you have a minyan of men, only then are women going to be obligated. That's what the Sitz HaKodesh says. It's actually a very interesting idea, conceptually, that the chiyuv that a woman has is, yes, it's a chiyuv in Zohar, providing there's a minyan, and therefore a woman should not read Zohar alone. Right? There you get, there's no kiyum of that. The kiyum would only be to come to shul according to this Tzitz HaKodesh. So there's a few minutes. I could take a number of questions. I don't guarantee I'll be able to answer them, but I could take them. So the case was that there were 9 people and 1 slave. That was the case. I mean, the case, the simple understanding of the case is that there were 9 people and 1 slave. And then the question is freeing the slave. Yes?
There's no problem with the idea that Rabbanim and Mashiach understood
the Raksa? There's a lot of problems with that. It's a full other shear. I was trying to skirt the issue. We see that discussion in Tosfos and Sukkah and Daf Gimel about when the Gemara says that technically speaking, if I have a very small sukkah and my table's in the house, so then I, technically speaking, I fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara has a gezeira, Shema Yimoshecha HaShochono, and the Rishonim over there say that because of that gezeira, it turns out you don't fulfill the mitzvah even min HaTorah. We do see this notion in a number of places. There's Rabbi Yonah at the beginning of Brachos, there's Taisus at the beginning of Sukkah. There's a number of places that we do see this idea. It's problematic, but the idea exists in Judaism. It's a full other shear. Yes?
But so you're saying, according to the Tzitz HaKodesh's latter explanation, that the chiyuv for a woman in Nochama only exists, only comes before, when there's a tzibur of men. So then according to that, when the Chazanish told his wife and his sister, you don't have to go to shul, the implication is, had they been in shul, they would have a chiyuv d'oraisa.
Correct.
But if they don't go to shul, they don't have to place themselves in the position of becoming mitchayvot.
Again, there are different ways of the way that this is quoted in the biography of the Chazanish. The Chazanish said that all the Rishonim who addressed the issue whether women are obligated in Zohar, all the Rishonim discussed the question of whether women should go to Zohar, say that women are exempt. So therefore, he would tell his wife not to go. The way you're trying to say is a very lumdisher way. Am I obligated to put myself in a state of obligation or not? If I am currently exempt because I'm at home, do I have to put myself in a state of obligation? That's a whole other discussion. Again, we could flush this out a lot more, but I'm just trying to give some Rashi Prakim. Yes, in the back.
The concept of the minyan, you learn out in Moroccan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, the truth is there are some Achrayim who bring the same raya from the Rosh and they say it that way. If you look in the Binyan Sion, it's Binyan Sion HaChadosh HaSimon Ches, he tries to say it that way. It's not so simple because the Rishonim discuss if you hold that Nashamar, we assume that Nashamar Mechuyavos in Mikra Megillah, and if you hold that Megillah requires 10, so are women able to combine to that Minyan for 10 people? Yeah. So that could be a technical reason the Gemara assumes that there's some sort of pritzusa that's involved, to have a tzibur of both women and men together, because if you're mitzdarif together, that...
Especially during Talmud, that...
What? That's what it sounds like. There are different ways of reading that Gemara, but... Yeah.
I don't really understand the kasha at all. When we say that women and men have the same field, in general, where Zechir Zahalik is negative on Israel and is not. And Nebuchadnezzar clearly has nothing to do with So you know, I don't understand why there should be the halal at any time of kasha, waiting for the rabbi.
That's, I mean, the question, it's an interesting question. I just don't know, because, I mean, practically speaking, when Amalek is attacking Klal Yisrael, they were also attacking the Erev Rav, they're also attacking the Avod, they're also attacking these semi-quasi-Jews. One could argue, especially, we know that Avodim are chayiv like women, so why should it be different? You're trying to argue, well, historically, Amalek wasn't trying to attack the Avodim. I'm not sure that that's true. And even if it is true, though, I could say that Lamaisa, once Chazal say that an Eved is like an Isha, so all the dinim apply. Perhaps. I mean, it's something to think about. It's something to think about. Okay. Last question, yeah. Last two questions.
So if according to Rosh Hashanah, in the class of Kriyas Torah, so you need 10 men to Kriyas Torah.
But again, if I hold that for this Kriyas HaTorah, an Isha is equally Chayeves, so then why should an Isha not combine to the Minyan? For this particular Kriyas HaTorah of Zohar, right? So women, it's not an ordinary Kriyas HaTorah. Ordinary Kriyas HaTorah is you don't repeat words in ordinary Kriyas HaTorah. We don't get ourselves so nervous. This is a special Kriyas HaTorah. We didn't even get to that discussion of Zecher and Zohar. Okay, that's for a different time. Yeah. The Amnezer deals with that, yeah. He deals with that in the Tshuva. I mean, it's hard to understand what Epahag means, that the Chiv is on Shmi and not on Mikra. There's a whole literature on that, about that. In that Avnezer, I don't remember exactly, but he deals with that question as well. Okay, I thank you all for coming very much. If you have further questions, we could take them while we eat.
Article by Rabbi Dr. Professor Breuer's itself,
yeah,
strongly condemned the repetition of Zecher and Zecher. He said that he defended very strongly. He says in Frankfurt, from the time of Schoenfeld Hirsch, they never did
they never
this.
Repeated it.
And he says in Holland, they never did this.
I'm one thing.
Will Chadashim had a handle.